I'm just a science student.
Sorry?
Science student I am.
Oh, you're from the science background, all right?
Okay. Bhagavad Gita padhna start to kiya tha abhi just maine.
Third chapter. Wonderful.
Third chapter tak pahuncha hu.
Great.
तो सोल का चैप्टर में पढ़ा था कि सोल डिस्ट्रॉय नहीं होता कभी. तो एक टाइम था जब ह्यूमंस थे ही नहीं अर्थ पर. तब सोल कहां थे?
There was a time in this universe when humans were not there, so where did the souls go? Even if I accept just for the sake of, you know, this question and answers that let's suppose that there was a time when humans were not there. But the humans are not the only species that live, right? There are other species of life also. Isn't it? Sorry?
They are animals, na?
Yeah, so animals also have soul.
No, means the sometime before the Big Bang, at that time means...
Before Big Bang?
Means I think scientifically more.
Before Big Bang, whatever existed, that is where the soul were. Means, do we know what existed before Big Bang?
No, I don't.
Bhagavad Gita says soul does exist.
Means I also don't...
The soul is not matter. The soul is not measured by the dimensions of material science. Alright? The soul imagines that it is under the purview or control of material science. A small example is given, a relevant example. I am sleeping at night. I have a dream. That dream seems to be a reality.
At that time.
That time. When I wake up, it is not a reality. However, before the dream, during the dream, and after the dream, I exist. During the dream phase, the phase before dreaming and after dreaming does not exist. Only the dream exists. Right?
Right.
So according to the Bhagavad Gita, this is the dream of the soul. The soul is dreaming that it is in material existence. It is dreaming that I have this relationship, I have this life. However, because it is within the dream, the soul does not, in this situation, have access to that which is outside the dream. Those that are outside the dream, they come and say, "Utho, utho, wake up." When we wake up, then we find the real existence.
It will be the far many things now. If we'll death, we'll wake up. Then after we'll death, we'll wake up. Right. What will it comes to end?
What comes to end?
Means when we wake up from the dream, we wake. Means the dream has to come to end.
Yes.
Yes. Now we will end someday. Means the death.
हाँ, लेकिन dream तो आपका सिर्फ एक घंटा आधे घंटे का होता है ना?
It's 4 minutes.
23 hours at least you have some life going on, isn't it? Other than the dream. When you wake from the dream, you realize that you have eternal life and eternal existence that is going on. That is the world of spirit. Where there is no beginning, there is no end, there is no past, there is no present, there is no future. Everything is eternal. Alright? This is the meaning of the soul always existing. My soul, the soul that I am, existed when I was a 2-year-old baby, even in this life. It existed when I was a 10-year-old boy. It is existing now. But my life and the body which was used to that life as a 2-year-old baby no longer exists. Just because that body does not exist and that existence, that world of existence does not exist, doesn't mean I have lost my existence, have I? I still do exist. Still, but unfortunately, even this existence is in a dream state. But since you are a science student, you can understand if N is in this way tending towards infinity, what does it mean? Right?
Right.
I was existing then, are they existing now, but the world of existence then is no longer existing now. It's a different world. So in the future there could be another world, but I am always going towards the realm of eternal existence. Isn't it? Now since I was existing, I am existing now and I have an experience of existing the past also. Isn't it? I have a belief that I'll exist in the future. How can we not be sure of existing even during the time phase when modern day science says that there was no human species? In fact, all the facts that are present now simply point to the fact that there is more chance of my existence even before the modern day theory of the absence of human species. Modern day theory is presenting, modern day scientific theory is presenting a beginning of the human species of life. Modern day theory is very, very conveniently not making an effort to understand existence before that. They say that that is not very important. What is important is this is when it began and this is how it is going on and this is where we'll reach or we have reached. And very conveniently, they are not addressing a question of what before that. It's easy to say, oh, it does not exist. But when we say in science it does not exist, we need proof of that. We don't have proof of that. Therefore, that realm is still open for existence and a study of existence. Okay? Okay. This is just from the scientific point of view. From the Vedic point of view, human species always exists. It may not exist in the way and format we know now. Alright? For example, you go to the Hyderabad Salar Jung Museum. You'll find the armor of Tipu Sultan. You look at it and you feel, Baba, ye kitna bada aadmi hoga. Aaj kon aisa pehen sakta hai? Even the big WWF heavyweight people, it will be difficult for them to wear that armor. And they will also be, they will be short enough for it. Such huge people existed 2 centuries back. Right? Now again, according to the facts that are available, how can we disbelieve and how can we not believe in the fact that human species could have existed in a format that we are not aware of right now? Modern day science is not aware of right now. Alright?
Alright.
So then we have to give credence to that, and if we are interested, then we can approach the scientific textbooks of the previous existences which are known as the Puranas. And they will explain how the human species and every other species existed and in what format they existed. Alright? The format for Kali Yuga, the present age, they explain is Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya. Our intelligence will be reduced, our size will be reduced, our capabilities will be reduced. Alright? So that we can see now, that this is the reduced state of existence. So what will be a state where everything is immense, in immense proportions? That the Puranas will explain. Alright?
So, as you are a doctor.
Okay.
Okay, means you know psychiatry.
Yes.
Yes. People got dreams that God has came in the dream and they said it, this and that. Means it's nothing, nah. It's just...
You're asking me whether when some people say that God came in their dream or...
The God never came, nah.
You're asking me whether...
Yes.
Whether they are
the God really came or not. I think it's not.
All right, you think it's not. Okay.
Are you asking me, will
give them the benefit of doubt and at least have a dialogue with them rather than label them as people who are simply having hallucinations. Right?
Right.
A person, he phoned up his psychiatrist and he said, Doctor, I'm hearing voices but I do not see people speaking. I just hear voices. Psychiatrist said, really? Where do you hear these voices? Doctor, whenever I am speaking on the telephone. So the psychiatrist has to explain, oh, that is normal, don't worry. But if the psychiatrist had not missed the inquiry, where did you hear it? And seems to be this person is hallucinating, isn't it? Right?
Right.
So I would like to give them the benefit of having a dialogue with them and seeing what their experience is. There are specific, there's a protocol to try to understand whether a person is actually undergoing an experience or it is simply some kalpana or hallucination. There's a protocol for that. Okay?
Means the God can really come in the dreams of the people.
God exists. God is super powerful. If He wants to appear somewhere, He doesn't need anyone's permission.
Means God has designed everything. Everything.
Sorry?
God has designed everything, na?
Just as an Indian, I have certain basic rights. Because I'm an Indian, right? As an Indian, those rights do not apply in, let's say, Pakistan. But still in Pakistan, some basic human rights apply to me because I'm a human. So as a human being, I have some rights that are universally applicable in so many different parts of the world. As an Indian, I have a right which is applicable in India. And as a Maharashtrian, growing up in Maharashtra, being born here, I have rights for the state of Maharashtra which may not be applicable in other states too. Now I, one insignificant person, have got so many rights because of my state of existence. That is how I am defined. That is by my definition, right? Domicile of Maharashtra is my definition. I have those rights. Citizen of India, by definition, I have those rights. Human being, I have those rights. Similarly, God by definition is someone who is all powerful. And it is His right and His prerogative to appear wherever He wants. That is His right. That is His existence. So we have to give Him the benefit of that existence. We have to accept it. Make sense?
Makes.
It has to make sense, right? It's logical. I'm not saying whether you believe in it. I'm saying, does it make sense? Now if it does make, sometimes things can make sense, but they may not be applicable, right? That is possible. Now see whether it is applicable or not. Work on it. You're an intelligent person, you have a scientific background, I gave you some logic and some facts. Work on it. See whether it is applicable or not. Then it is no longer a belief. It becomes a reality or a realization. Right? I cannot impose my realization on you. I can share the logic and facts I have based on that realization with you. Now it is up to you.
Okay.
And I'm confident that as an intelligent person, you are definitely going to do something with it. So I wish you all the best.
One last.
Okay.
Mr. Krishna is the utmost God.
Okay.
At the top. It's the Bhagavad Gita says, means He's at the top.
Okay.
Every other demigods are under Him.
Okay.
Okay. Means with Krishna is at most now, right or wrong, you say.
Oh, you're asking me whether it is right or wrong?
Yeah.
Well, if I accept the Bhagavad Gita as my source of knowledge.
So you have other sources of knowledge too now?
Oh yeah. There are the Vedas, there are the Puranas. But the sum total of all the Vedas and Puranas is the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, I accept Bhagavad Gita as source of my knowledge. Then according to the Gita, there are verses which state that. There is a verse where Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam prabhava. Everything comes from me, I am the source of everything. That means the demigods, human beings, earth, the planets, the universe, everything, He is a source. So automatically, He is top boss.
Okay.
Arjuna says, Param brahma, param dhama, pavitram param, and so on and so forth. Ahustvam rishaya sarve. This is what has been accepted by all the rishis like Devala, Asita, Narada. You yourself have said it like that and I also say it. Yes? The conclusion of the Gita, Sanjaya says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanu, Tatra Shri Vijay Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Everything that is valuable is existing wherever there is Krishna because The Lord and His devotee are together. So, based on the Bhagavad Gita, I am left with no choice but to simply humble myself and say yes. Great personalities like Asita Devala Vyas accept. Great personalities of today's times, like let's say Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, they accept the message of the Bhagavad Gita. I accept what these great personalities accept. I accept what Krishna says. I accept what the great personalities say. It becomes very easy. And then I apply Bhagavad Gita. Become a yogi, O Arjuna. Try to become my devotee, Arjuna. You will realize me, Arjuna. I apply that and begin to realize. See how Krishna is present in everything. See how Krishna is actually practicing Krishna consciousness allows you to become strong in cultivation of good and moral qualities. Yes? But this is not simply sectarian belief. Right? Why? Not just because these people just say, and I respect them, therefore I accept. But the very word Krishna means the Supreme. Sarva Akarshati Iti Krishna. One who can attract everything else. He is like the big boss magnet, you know. Magnetic theory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two magnets, one more powerful, one less powerful. Which will attract which?
Both will attract each other.
Both will attract. But where will the attraction be more? In which direction?
Equal.
How?
Newton's third law.
How does Newton's third law work? Every action has equal and opposite reaction?
Yes.
So what is the opposite reaction here?
He is also attracting from that point, from the both of us.
No, there's going to be a south pole for the other magnet. And there's going to be a north pole for this magnet. The bigger magnet is going to attract the other magnet through its south pole. It's simple, isn't it? North and north is going to repel, definitely. But once it is repelled, the south will be exposed. The south will become attracted. The south pole, the north pole of the bigger magnet will also be attracted by the south pole of the smaller magnet. However, the attraction of the south pole towards the north pole of the bigger magnet will be greater. That will cause the motion of the smaller magnet faster towards the bigger magnet, whereas the motion of the greater magnet will not be as much, or it may not move at all. Correct?
You are thinking in just on Earth means due to friction, it will not move. If the, there
okay,
is no
in space,
friction.
Nothing applies anyways.
No, we think ideal conditions now.
In space, how, if there is no atmosphere, if there is nothing to support, no friction, how does movement take place?
Movement.
Just based on mass, movement cannot take place, right?
No, if we put two magnets, bigger, smaller, that's a different thing. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
Means how we should differentiate it's good or bad.
No, what I'm saying is not differentiation between good and bad. What I'm saying is the name Krishna means the greatest magnet. All attractive. Which means everything else is smaller than him. There may be magnets, but smaller than him. Otherwise the name Krishna would not mean anything. Okay?
Okay.
So that's how we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is it alright?
Alright.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.